unheardnerd.com.
Welcome to another edition of the Unheard Nerd Movie Podcast. I'm Will.
And I'm John.
I bring the fiction, he brings the fact. How you doing, John? Had a good week?
Not too bad. How about you?
Yeah. It's been all right. I'm not going to say it's been a good week. I wouldn't want to lie to our listeners. I do that every week. okay. This is a movie podcast. We've got movie news. There's been one massive story dropped in the last few days. Can you think what that is? Something to do with...
Is it Star Wars?
No, it couldn't be Star Wars, could it?
No, big director.
Jar Jar. What's his name? Jar Jar Abrams?
That's what the JJ stands for.
We found it. That's the leak. Yeah, the big news. JJ Abrams is looking very likely to direct the latest Star Wars film, Episode 7.
That's right. Even though there's been no official confirmation, everyone seems to be taking this news as sort of gospel.
It does seem weird. It came from that one website. What was it called? The Rap.
Yeah, a website called The Rap reported it.
Yeah, and all of a sudden
they have a source who's on the production or something.
Yeah,
but then I think was it the Hollywood Reporter and another website called Deadline also apparently put tweets online saying they've heard the same thing
from other
unnamed sources.
Yes, it's easy to do that. That's Daily Mail reporting. That is.
I think it's The Sun as well. The Sun does a lot of that.
Sunny,
a close friend says.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. But I think it was weird because he distanced himself from it from before, didn't he? He said that he's such a big fan of the franchise that he doesn't feel like he said there would be too much pressure on him to produce the goods. You know, it's like he categorically said that I will be going to see the film, but as a paying moviegoer.
That's right. Yeah. So either he's extremely good at lying, or he didn't honestly know at that point, unless he was courted afterwards.
Director after director distanced themselves from it. I believe he did that as well. But Spielberg, it was, I think, who said that I wouldn't do it. Rule me out, but this is right up Abrams Street. But then he came out with that quote closely afterwards saying that he will be going, but only as a paying moviegoer. So I don't know. But an interesting question was raised online, is that if he is doing Star Wars Episode 7, where does that leave the Star Trek franchise? Who's going to do the third one? I mean, there's going to be a third one. It's so successful.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, no doubt. This one will shed loads of money.
Yeah.
Quit number three. Let's get going.
Well, to be honest, I have already pretty much booked my ticket to go and see it because I loved the first Star Trek film, like the reimagination, or reimagining, I should say. The second one, Into Darkness, comes out around about my birthday time. And so I went and saw the first one as my birthday treat from my wife when that came out, because that, again, was around May. Whatever year it came out.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, what do you want to do for your birthday? It's like that pretty much on the day, I think. She's like, I've got a babysitter, we can go and do whatever you want. And I think she was expecting to go out for a meal or something. I was like, I want to go see Star Trek. Bad boy. And she's like, really? Don't want to go for a meal? Nice meal. Nice expensive meal. Want to see Star Trek. So we went and saw Star Trek, and so the same is going to happen with this second one. But yeah, interesting dilemma. What is going to happen to the Star Trek franchise? I mean, surely you can't do both.
No, I mean, what, Star Trek's this year, 2013.
Mm.
Star Wars is it 15?
Yeah,
it's prep time. I mean, I can't imagine Paramount will let him swap.
What was the last Star Trek film? Was what, 2010?
It's quite a few years ago now.
Doesn't matter. We don't need to be factual. Why start now? But yeah, I don't know. I mean, interesting. But what do you feel about J.J. Abrams? I kind of got an inkling of what you feel about it. I think you're going to mention a particular effect he uses quite a lot.
Oh, that's been done to death in the last 24 hours, I think, that joke. Egg flares.
Yeah.
I really do. I love Star Trek. That's a great film. Mission Impossible 3, another one of his. It's enjoyable. I don't know. I'm thinking of number 4, aren't I? No, yeah, no, number 3 is really good. I forget, my Mission Impossible was confused then. No, he directed number 3. I really like number 3. That's a good Mission Impossible film. Mm. Of course, he was involved with setting up Lost as well, which is something I watched from beginning to end.
Did you cry at the end?
Yes, I did.
No, that was an admission.
I did. I cried.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, emotionally, I've never watched Lost. I thought you'd be crying because the end was so disappointing.
I cried because I just got sort of, well, you know.
Yeah, but do you think Abrams can do justice to Star Wars? Oh, bearing in mind that George Lucas hasn't for the last three films.
Exactly. I mean, in that sense, there's only been three directors, isn't there? George Lucas did 1, 2, 3, 4, and then Irving Kershner directed an excellent 5, and then a guy called Richard Marquand directed a not-so-great number 6, Return of the Jedi. Although it's been strongly suggested and hinted that George was basically behind Richard at times, going, do this, do that.
Finger up his arse, come on.
Yeah. These are really my movies, so do what I say, but we'll just pretend you're saying it.
I quite like Return of the Jedi. Okay, alright, J.J. Abrams. I watched another of his films recently. Me and my wife have basically, we've set ourselves a challenge. All these films we've recorded on our TV box over the last 5 years or whatever and never watched.
Yeah,
we're systematically going through them one by one, and it doesn't matter what the fuck is next, we're gonna watch it. Because yeah, we'll flick through it and go, no, I don't fancy that. Oh, do you fancy that? No, I don't like that. You like that? It's not my film. So we always fight and we end up watching shit on TV instead. So we said, right, we're gonna, you know, she's recorded old Hitchcock stuff, and I've recorded like some action films and what have you, so we're just literally just gonna go through them one by one and in sequence that we've recorded them, and just watch get them out of the way. So we recorded them for a reason.
Yeah.
And we watched a J.J. Abrams film. It's not one I realised was his. What's it, Forever Young, Mel Gibson?
J.J. Abrams?
Yeah, but he's not under the name J.J. Abrams, that's the thing. He's under his real name, whatever it is, James or Joshua or... I'm pretty sure, yeah. Fuck it, I'm going to IMDb that, because I'm not being wrong on this.
Is that the pilot who gets frozen in time?
Yeah, exactly.
He's in a cryostasis accident, isn't he?
That's right, yeah. And at the beginning of the film, the missus was like, what is this shit? It's like some some crappy kids film. And I was like, just wait, because I'd seen it before. But, yeah, it changes. The film changes completely. And we got to the end credits and we're like, who directed this? Because it's got a real Spielberg-ish feel to it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know, J.J. Abrams, perhaps? And we checked the credits, and where the fuck is it? Let me find it. All right, he was written by J.J. Abrams.
Aww.
So Jeffrey Jacob Abrams, there we go. No, he's not Jar Jar, but Jeffrey Jacob. I can't imagine why he've shortened it. Not gone as bad as McGee, though, has he? All right, so it was written by him, but you could really, yeah, there was this real Spielberg sense about it. You know, kids in everyday America, and, you know, very E.T. sort of feel to it. And I know Abrams is a massive Spielberg fan and sort of loves him.
And you've seen Super 8, which is very Spielbergian, isn't it? I still haven't seen that myself.
It is, yeah. Yeah, I have seen that. I saw it at the cinema. I mean, I didn't like that as much as my wife did. She really enjoyed that film. Again, because of that Spielbergian sort of influence. Is that even a word, Spielbergian? The Spielberg influence. So J.J. Abrams is doing Star Wars.
Apparently, Matthew Vaughn was considered. Mm. Who was the? I think he's the director of Kick-Ass.
Ben Affleck is him.
And Ben Affleck, yeah.
What? I know he's sort of man of the moment, thanks to Argo. I don't know where the story can go either, but I'm sure they'll do something wonderfully wacky with it. Some characters we all hate.
I mean, in a recent interview, Samuel Jackson said he'd like to be in it as well, but I think your time's done. Plus the fact you were forced pushed out of a window several stories up.
I think, I mean, that's something Star Wars hasn't done. It hasn't really brought people... Oh, hang on. I was about to say, hasn't brought people back from the dead. Apart from Obi-Wan, Yoda, Anakin. Yeah, all right, scratch that. Well, maybe he can come back as a sort of hologram.
There's a misquote from an artist called Drew Struzan, who did a lot of the posters for the Star Wars films. In fact, he did a lot of posters for a lot of 80s films, like the Goonies, Back to the Future, all sort of really nice hand-painted stuff.
Oh, yeah.
The misquote was something like Disney had asked him to come back and do posters for the new Star Wars films to keep in tradition. And everyone's like, hey, Drew's coming back, awesome posters. But then he came back online and said, no, I've been misquoted. I've done the posters. I've retired. It's time to hand over to a new generation of people, so I'm not coming out of retirement to do new posters.
There's a really nice documentary about him on YouTube, I think. I can't remember what it's called or how you find it, but I mean, if you...
Oh, is the whole thing on there?
I don't know. If memory serves me correctly, it's the whole thing. I think I saw someone post up of this is now on YouTube.
Yeah.
I may be wrong, but yeah, I usually am. So, but might be worth checking out, even if it's not on YouTube, maybe look it up somewhere else. Yeah, well, that's a shame. It would have been nice, but I'm sure somebody can replicate a similar style.
Yeah, as long as they don't get giant floaty head posters.
Okay, well, that's Star Wars and J.J. Abrams. What else is there in a galaxy far, far away?
Warner Brothers want to do a Robotech movie.
Robotech? Yeah. What's
Robotech?
What's that now?
It's 1980s anime. The story is a time in Earth's future when we've developed giant robots from we've taken from technology from an alien spacecraft that crashed on the South Pacific Island. We're forced to use this technology to fend off successful waves of alien attacks.
All right. So this was an anime, but they're making
this is a Japanese anime, but they want to make a sort of live action film. Apparently, it's been around in development since 2007. Nick Matheo has been attached to director. So far, he's done just commercials. He hasn't done any full-length features yet. Tobey Maguire is attached to produce.
Really?
Yeah, apparently he was going to star at one point. At the moment, he's attached just to produce.
Weird.
And the reason I picked up on it is Warner Brothers is also doing Pacific Rim, which is a very similar theme.
Right, yeah.
Giant robots attacking alien creatures.
Yeah, I mean, they're quite popular with the sort of nerdy anime fans, I suppose. Gundams and the kaijus and all that kind of thing. You're quite excited by Pacific Rim, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. I think more so because of the director, the Guillermo del Toro.
Before I saw the trailer, I was quite excited too. I thought, well, he's going to give it some integrity. It's going to be there's going to be some substance to it. But then I saw the trailer, and I just thought it looked ridiculous. Why on earth would you build a fucking great big robot that you've got to stand inside and you've got to actually physically move the robot when you've got steering wheels and joysticks? We've already moved on from a fucking horse and cart. It's weird.
It could be worse. It could be powered by Xbox Kinect.
Well, even that would be more technologically advanced than what they portray in the trailer for it. I don't know, that really put me off. And I know that's the whole point of it. That's what it is. It's a kaiju. That's how it works. You stand.
It takes two people to operate one robot.
Yeah, weird. But it just seems like a lot of effort. It's like... Yeah, they did it in fucking Alien, for Christ's sake, with the loaders. It's just ridiculous. We've got wheels. We've got things that fly. You don't have to get anywhere near a fucking great big monster. You can just fly. It just seems bizarre. I hope I'm proved wrong on that, because I was excited about that film. And now I've I've kind of gone off it a bit. Okay. All right, well, that's my Pacific Rim rant over with.
Like, I can see where your rant's coming from, but then you lose the tension, really, don't you? Indeed. If they're fighting remotely.
I suppose, it wouldn't be much of a film, I suppose. And if they didn't have the robots, it'd be like, oh, there's a big monster, it's dead. End of film, sorry. 5 minutes. I paid 25 quid to see that. Okay, so Robotech and a rant about... what is it it's called? Pacific Rim. That's the one. I forgot what we're talking about. Ranted so long. Okay, what have you got next for us, John?
They've confirmed the lineup for the Justice League movie.
Ah, interesting.
Okay, well, it sounds like they're keeping it pretty mainstream. The Justice League movie will consist of Superman, Batman, the Green Lantern, Wonder Woman, and The Flash.
Okay, well, first point, I think, is let's hope Ryan Reynolds isn't the Green Lantern.
Wasn't that bad.
Are you sure? Do you want to think about that and come back, phone a friend?
I don't think it's nothing too bad for Peter Entertainment. I mean, you could do with a sequel, maybe sorting things out a bit.
It was all right.
Especially the lame after the credits. You know, there's other people out there kind of thing after the credits, wasn't there?
Right.
One of the guys' eyes flashed yellow or something to say, I'm bad. Watch out for a sequel. That will never happen.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that proves my point. That's how bad it was. That they wouldn't even make a sequel of that. They made fucking how many Spider-Man films? Okay. I know, different fucking comics, all right? I know that. I know Marvel, DC, I know. No, that's it. I am really excited for the Justice League. I really want DC to come back strong, and I'd love to see more from Batman. I mean, not yet. You know, leave it for a while, but more from Batman. I'm really, really tingly about this Superman film, Man of Steel. Yeah. That, I mean, the trailer alone just sets it off for me. It's sort of haunting, it's eerie, but there's that moment of, you know, where he's breaking the sound barrier and it's like, yeah, really, really excited. Really excited about that. Which made me go out and buy a fucking Superman books. There you go. I've got All-Star Superman 1 and 2 to read, which I think is Grant Morrison. Wonder Woman, there was that failed series, wasn't there?
There was last year, yeah. I got hold of it, started watching it, and after 5 minutes went...
Yeah, I mean, Wonder Woman, just by nature, is a pretty outdated, you know, character.
They're trying again.
Are they?
I don't know if it's any script stage or something. I think it's called Amazon.
All right. Okay.
But they are trying again with another Wonder Woman series, as far as I know.
Well, it needs something just to bring it up to date a little bit. You know.
Yeah.
In this day and age, it's not going to come across well to have a scantily clad Wonder Woman with a fucking tiara. It's got to be modernized.
That costume's got to change, isn't it?
Exactly. And they've done it with so many other comic book characters, you know, they can do it. That's one thing I will say, the Superman costume I'm a little bit nervous about in Man of Steel, because there's something weird going on at the back. It's modernized. He's lost the I think he's lost the red pants on the outside as well.
Oh, it's just dark blue, isn't it, the rest of them?
It just matches the costume. Yeah, I think it's just costume. Okay, the Green Lantern and the Flash. I'm a bit nervous about the Flash. How do you do that without it being cheesy?
Last time we had The Flash was a 90s TV series?
I'm not
that
sure.
That ran for maybe a season or two?
I don't think I ever saw it.
I didn't see it, but I know there was one.
How do you think they'll go? I mean, given Batman was so dark, and this Man of Steel looks to be quite bleak as well, how do you think they'll play the Justice League? Do you think they'll keep it in that theme, or do you think they'll ham it up a little bit?
I honestly don't know.
How would you like to see it, then?
Let the Avengers be the lighter one. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the Avengers, but the Avengers just seem to be a brilliant mix of action and sort of...
I don't know. Yeah, I'd like to see it a bit darker, but I don't know how you can when you've got characters like The Flash and Wonder Woman. I don't know.
One question is the guy playing Superman this year going to carry on and be in the Justice League, or are they going to recast him again?
Again, Marvel just played it so perfectly. They've cast the right people. They've got some big names in to do... I mean, say big names, but you know, well-known, you know, household names, not necessarily the biggest actors in the world. And they've just played it really well. There's the continuity all the way through. It all ties in really neatly and really nicely.
Yeah.
I just worry that they're sort of jumping into it a bit too quickly. You've got the Batman films, right? That's got no link to that film whatsoever.
No.
As far as we know. We've got the Superman film, which we've yet to see whether it links to Justice League at all. And then are they just going to throw out the Justice League and it's going to be a completely separate entity? You know, I don't know if people are really going to buy that, especially if there were different actors playing all the characters.
Warner Brothers are doing it in reverse, aren't they? I think that's their plan. They're doing the group movie first.
Oh, and then,
spinning off from there.
Okay.
Because a rumour that popped up was that this is set for 2015. And then there might be another solo Batman film in 2017.
I don't know. All right. It just seems like taking Marvel's concept and going, well, we're not really ripping it off because we're doing it the opposite way around. Okay, what's up next? What have we got?
In our regular shitting on our youth feature.
right, yes.
Although I'm not too fussed about this one. They're bringing back the Leprechaun franchise.
The Leprechaun.
I never. All I know about them is it's a small ice leprechaun terrorizing people, and one of them was a young Jennifer Aniston. That's about all I know about those films.
Okay, I know nothing about the leprechaun other than the bits that they knock off in Wayne's World. That is it. That's my whole knowledge of the leprechaun. Is it a revered film franchise or
Warwick Davis was the leprechaun in all of them? And apparently the last one they made was a tongue-in-cheek straight-to-video release called Leprechaun Back to the Hood.
Oh.
Tells you sort of where that series went.
Yeah.
Apparently they want to push it to a little darker, a little more traditional horror than the Warwick Davis ones that people remember. Sounds to me like we own the franchise, let's do it again and see if we can make some money off people's memories. Well, I thought, keeping with the Lionsgate theme, this wasn't planned actually, but it's working out quite nicely. They teamed up with the prop store and they're auctioning off over 200 props from last year's Dread movie.
Oh, right, okay.
The auction will start on Monday, the 28th of January, and the web address is stores, that's stores, .ebay.com/propstore-auction. And you name it, they're going to sell it. They've got props, they've got costumes, including Carl Urban's full Dread costume. They've got Dreddy's Law Master bike for sale, and everything's going to start at £1.
Wow.
They'll start at £1. They probably won't finish as £1.
No, of course not. No.
It's a shame because I've always would have, you know, I'd love to have like some props on the wall, being a film nerd. But the price at times is so prohibitive.
Yeah.
And you go to the prop store have their own official website, and you can look around their shop to see what they've got for sale. And oh, look, there's a costume worn by someone famous, and I don't have £7,000, so I won't be buying that. There is a flip side to this story. Is this kind of unofficial confirmation that they're not going to make any sequels because they're flogging off all the props?
Oh yeah, I suppose it makes sense.
I mean, the writer and the director all stated they'd like to do more films. And they had that sort of unofficial story arc planned out. But the film cost about $50 million to make and only pulled back about 32 in its worldwide theatrical run, which isn't very promising. But Lionsgate did put a press statement out early this week stating that Dread was the number one Blu-ray for sale last week.
I've heard a few people saying that, you know, they've seen it, they've watched it, and now it's out on Blu-ray rather than when it was at the cinema.
Perhaps the Stallone version left a bad taste in people's mouth.
That's what it is. It's what it is. Okay, well, so if you want to watch The Leprechaun, you probably can. And if you want to buy Dread props, then you can do that as well if you've got enough money to do so. I wonder if there'll be anything small, just a tiny little bit you could get. There must be something, like shoelace. something.
Screen worn shoelace.
You know, something they never actually used. It was just in the corner of one set or something.
All right, the prop store have stuff, you know, cheap, like newspapers with fake headlines and sort of money and casino chips from Casino Royale, and they sell for sort of 20, 30 quid.
Yeah.
So they have the cheap stuff. It just doesn't look quite as impressive as, you know, having maybe a Dread helmet and sit on the wall that costs you a couple of grand. But
yeah, I mean, if you had the money, if money wasn't a problem, then, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Shall we take an interlude, John, and do our question of the week? So the question this week was, which is the greatest or which is the best Batmobile of all time? And in this we included TV, film, animated series, comic books, cartoons, whatever you could think of, which Batmobile came up. And there really were only, well, there were four mentioned, and one is a variation on the other. With their answers, shout-outs to the following. Firstly, a mutual friend of ours, John, somebody you know. This was on Facebook, actually. And this is, on Twitter, is @evilkeg.
All right, okay.
He's a breakbeat DJ by night, and often by day when he should be working at his company, Giraffe Dog. our friend Keith, we went to college with, didn't we? He was in our thoughts.
Indeed.
Yeah, this is sort of incestuous, isn't it? Well, his vote went to the Tumblr, which I know gets your vote as well. You're still eating fucking biscuits, aren't you? Seriously, John, take this podcast seriously. This is our future careers in media, and you're eating biscuits. So Keith went for the Tumblr, which is your choice, isn't it?
It is indeed.
Yeah, you're wrong. also for the Tumblr was... No one else.
What? No.
Nobody else went for the Tumblr. Okay, I'll start earliest, really. Earliest. We had Geeky Baz, and he went for the Barris 64, which is the actual name for the original Adam West. Not the original Batmobile, but the Adam West series Batmobile. I think it's called Barris because it was made by the guy, that's his name. And he recently sold that car, the original hero car. Did you see how much it went for?
Was it $4.6 million?
Well, yeah, pretty much exactly that. That wasn't even a guess, that really was it. A lot of money. Over $4 million that car went for. They anticipated over a million. We got quadruple that amount.
Do you know how much that car cost the guy who built it?
No, I have no idea.
$1.
$1?
It was a concept car by Ford. And he saw it and he went, that's a really good car, I can turn that into the Batmobile. And so he spoke to Ford and said, can I have that car? I went, yeah, you can have it for $1. He took it and turned it into the Batmobile.
Wow. But yeah, that the pinstriping in particular just set it off. It's really cool. But anyway, that was Geeky Baz with the Barris 64. Another single vote, and this one, again, I can really see where it's coming from. I think people have mostly gone for the Batmobiles I really like. And James the Jill, he's an odd combination. In fact, he's a nerd, and he supports Gillingham Football Club, which is exactly what I am.
Yeah.
James Tong, his name is. So shouts out to James. He likes the animated Batmobile with the Art Deco styling.
Nice car.
It is, and that's sort of a variation on the Keaton one.
I always assumed it was just a more simpler version of the Keaton one, because obviously it's animated. They can't go for that much detail for obvious reasons.
I think yes, you're partially right. Again, going back to Kevin Smith and his Fat Man on Batman podcast, there is an episode where they get the guy that sort of came up with the concepts and the art for that, the animator for that program, the animated series. He goes into detail about how they styled it, why they styled it, why it looks quite simple, and the Art Deco styling that goes into that. Yeah, so that was quite nice. But I did like that, and I do like that Batmobile. But the outright winner, by a margin of, well, everything else got one vote, apart from unless we include your vote for the Tumblr. This got three votes, four if you include me. It's the 89 Keaton Batmobile, which for me is the best Batmobile. I didn't like some of the stuff it did. But anyway, voting for the 89 Keaton one, we've got Mike G. Bell, and yeah, he said 89 Keaton. Mad Hatter McGuinness, he is head of Scrub Club Records. And also Corey Epps, who has been subject of a donation appeal on the website this week. The poor fucker, he's a podcaster, and that's pretty much all he lives for. He podcasts almost daily, I would say. Massive film fan, interviewed me for his show. And the poor fucker had all his stuff. I don't want to play the sympathy card, and I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, but I don't think he's from a particularly wealthy household. So he pretty much had everything he owns with him in his friend's car. Clothes, his laptop, his microphone, even some food. And the whole lot got wiped out. Some fucker stole it. He lost everything he had, basically, and couldn't podcast anymore. So his friend in Scotland, of all places, the podcast, he does a podcast with this guy in Scotland anyway, and the guy in Scotland set up an Indiegogo to raise the funds to replace all of Corey's equipment, and he's had some really, really generous donations. He's made the $500 he needed to get his equipment replaced, and he'll have better equipment now, I would hope, and he can carry on podcasting now. So that's really touching. I think one person alone donated over $200, and another person $185. And so really, big ups to everybody that helped him, because he's a nice guy, and it's a really tough break to have everything stolen like that. But anyway, he went for the 89 Keaton Batmobile as well, and I do. So winner. In your face, Tumblr. What do you like about the Tumblr? It just seems cumbersome to me.
Well, actually, the 89 Batmobile was my favourite ever since. And for some reason, I just became a Batman fan when that film came out. I wasn't really into comics and stuff before then.
Yeah.
and the 89 film come out, and I just went mad for Batman, have been ever since.
I think it really hit us. We were of that age where it was just, we were just the right age to go. It was the first 12 certificate film in this country, wasn't it?
That's true. Yeah, was that for the cinema or just for video? They brought out that certificate just for video, didn't they?
Did they? But I mean,
it had a huge marketing drive, didn't it? It was everywhere.
Yeah, the t-shirts. I mean, if you bought a t-shirt then and you've still got it, it's retro cool now.
The first official picture released of the Tumblr was just a silhouette, and it's like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
And I think the first time I saw it might have been a YouTube video where someone was recording with their phone or with a proper camera out in the streets of Chicago when they were shooting it. Or if it wasn't that, it was Warner Brothers released kind of a 5-minute trailer for it in between Dawson's Creek or something. And it had the... it had the segment of the film where Bruce Wayne first sees the Tumblr at the research department.
Right. Does it come in black?
Exactly. I've watched the various making of material that comes with the films, and it's a British built vehicle as well.
Yeah.
Apparently they took the design to the Americans and they went, well, it's got no front axle. How the hell does that work? We can't do that. And so they took it to a bunch of British engineers and they were like, yeah, we'll do that. And they did it.
Yeah, I mean, it's all right. I mean, as far as movie vehicles go, it's a cool vehicle, but it's not a Batmobile to me. It just goes against what a Batmobile is. But, I mean, it works. It's all right. I don't sit there going, oh, this film's spoilt because of the Tumblr. I feel the same way about the Bat. The Bat just looks like they got some... poor props guy stuck him in a dark room for weeks with loads of bits of Airfix model and went, yeah, make something. He's like, it's dark, I can't see. I know. Just make something. And he glued his fingers to it and you know, and it all just turned out a bit of a fucking mess.
No. Would you like a bit of trivia about the Tim Burton Batmobile?
Yeah, go on.
When they designed that, they also designed it in small scale first. And then they build it in like sort of full size polystyrene to see how it's going to look. I think Tim Burton came down to look at it, and other sort of design guys were there looking at it. And I mean, yeah, this is an amazing looking vehicle. And then someone went, "How's Batman going to get into it?" Oh shit! And they suddenly realised no one had designed a door for it. One of the guys was like, "Well, hang on, we'll make it like a Harrier jump jet. We'll have it so the cockpit slides forward, and Batman can get in."
Yeah, good solution.
There was another tiny problem that caused, though, because of Batman's ears on his cowl were so big. When Michael Keaton first sat inside the Batmobile, the ears actually stuck out too high. So they had to design a second cowl for him with slightly shorter ears, so they wouldn't get chopped off as the hood slid back on the vehicle.
That's cool. It does look cool. I love the cockpit, the sliding cockpit. I mean, not really very practical for when it rains. You couldn't drive one in this country. But, yeah, I really like that.
Even the cocoon mode is probably impossible. That still looks awesome when it happens.
It does, doesn't it? It looks great. That's just brilliant. But, I mean, it got a bit silly in later films. I think, bits fell off the side and it went into a thinner.
Oh yeah, and it went down into an alleyway, didn't it?
Really shit. I mean,
what have you done to it?
I mean, what were they thinking? Like,
didn't have a big piston come out the bottom so that it pushes itself up into the air, does a full 180, and get back down again. And you're like,
just rubbish. Yeah. they got progressively worse. I mean, the Batman and Robin one. No, wrong. All sorts of wrong. Okay, well, that was our intermission. What have we got next on the news front, John?
A weird bit of casting news is Marvel are obviously preparing for a Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Yes.
Which we've both admitted we don't really know much about. Apparently it's going to production later this year with a guy called James Gunn directing. And the story has come out that two names that Marvel are trying to get into the movie are Jim Carrey. And you think, okay.
Yeah.
The other worrying name attached to it is Adam Sandler.
Yeah. But he's the voice of, is it Rocket Raccoon, I think they want him for?
Yeah, that's something I'd heard. Oh, he's voicing a character, that's maybe not so bad, man.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about it, but the only reason I know about that character is because there was a campaign to get nerdy rapper stroke complete arsehole MC Chris to be the voice of it, because he's got a really sort of, he's got a high-pitched sort of voice, squeaky voice. Okay. Nothing against his voice. I quite like his voice. He's just a dick. I'm not going to rant about him again. Anybody that doesn't know what I'm talking about, check out the very unheard Nerdcore Meow podcast, our Christmas special. I went off on a bit of a one about him. But yeah, so Kevin Smith was backing MC Chris to be the voice of, I think it's Rocket Raccoon. If I've got this wrong, someone's going to fucking call me out on it. But I think it is. And the reason being, the link there is that MC Chris did the theme tune for Smodcast, which is Kevin Smith's regular podcast with Scott Mosier. So yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised that they didn't choose MC Chris to do it, although he does do TV work and voiceovers. He worked for Adult Swim for some time, and in fact has his own cartoon series coming out on Adult Swim soon. Ooh. I believe that he's got fan funded. But yeah, I don't know, I think Adam Sandler would probably do alright as a voice of that character. I don't know whether it's an animated film or whether it's live action. I have no idea. As you alluded to, we don't really know much about it at all.
I tend to avoid Adam Sandler in most respects.
I like him in, what's the hockey film?
I mean, we've watched Hotel Transylvania, which he does the voice for the main character, Dracula.
Right.
I don't mind that. I can hear him, but I can't see him, so I can live with that.
Mm. No, I've never seen that. I can't think what that film is called. It's going to bug me. It doesn't matter. The hockey film. Anyway, everyone will know it. So I like him in that. I haven't liked him in much else otherwise. Jim Carrey, I kind of like in lots of stuff. I really like him in Cable Guy.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. I know that film gets a bit of the hate, but...
Yeah, I thought he was good in that. Menacing. I mean, the first Ace Ventura is, you know, is what it is. It's ridiculous, but he's good at it. Yeah, he does well in it. I really like The Truman Show. I love that film.
Oh yeah, that's awesome.
Really love that film. I think he's awesome in that. There's a lot of shit of his that I just haven't seen, because I look at it and I go, oh, I know I'm not going to particularly care for that. You know, things like Liar Liar and whatever. But I don't know. He's hit and miss, but I enjoy a lot of his stuff.
He's in Kick-Ass 2, which I'm looking forward to.
I still haven't seen Kick-Ass 1. I'm planning, if we finish on time, if I don't end up editing this all night, which I may well do, then I was planning to watch that, because it's on Love Film Instant tonight. I've got three films I want to try and get through this weekend, which is Kick-Ass, for our international listeners. I've got Tintin to watch, which I don't know if I can watch with the kids. I've got to check the ratings on that, but I might be able to watch that with the kids. Mongol, which I don't even know why I put that on my fucking Love Film list, but it turned up, so I'm going to watch it. It's like the early days of Genghis Khan.
All right.
It was in the cinema, but I know it turned up. It's like it's one of those ones that, like, as I mentioned earlier, like me and my wife are working through the film, so it's just like, I don't care what it is, we're just watching the next one. It's a bit like that. It's like, should we watch a film? What have you got on Love Film? Well, I've got Mongol. No, I don't want to watch that. So I want to try and get through that while she's away this weekend, otherwise it's just going to end up sitting gathering dust on the mantelpiece, and we've already had about 4 months, I think, really not making use of that subscription. What's next?
We did have some posters turn up for a film called 47 Ronin, which is a Universal project directed by an unknown called Carl Rinch. It's a 3D samurai movie. It's supposed to be a big tentpole movie for the summer. I think it's supposed to be out last year, and it got pushed back to this year. The stories are, it's had a very a troubled production. The director's been pulled out of the editing room, and the Universal co-chairwoman is going to oversee the final cut. Planned budget of $175, which apparently ballooned to $225 million.
Wow.
As Keanu Reeves, as an 18th century samurai who seeks to avenge his master's death. The film's shooting got off quite well, but during after a little while, apparently the director sort of buckled under the pressure, and he wasn't carrying on very well. Universal wanted him to chuck him off the movie, but the Directors Guild of America rules states that as he's the director, he's allowed to finish it, including any reshoot work. So he did some reshoots, apparently putting Keanu Reeves more prominently in the film's finale, because he wasn't in the final battle. So lots of problems going on there, and some posters turned up online, which is our first sort of look at the film, because we hadn't seen anything from it yet, really. And you could tell these posters were either mock-ups Well, they probably were mock-ups because for start, well, they had the date 2012 on them, which is wrong for a start. And some clever person spotted that the they have the film small print in the bottom. The small print, as in the cast list and the director, etc. This small print was actually taken from Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Oh, right.
So obviously these posters have leaked out from somewhere.
Fake, do you think?
I would say fake, but I went to have a look, see if I could find a, you know, just find a website I could, perhaps we could point people to. And all the posters have now been removed after request from the studio.
Oh, right.
Which fake post? That doesn't normally happen with fake posters.
No.
So it sounds like these were official mock-ups, and someone's let them leak out onto the internet, and then Universal have gone, no, no, take them down, please. More trouble for that film.
Well, I mean, it doesn't sound that inspiring. as soon as you say it stars Keanu Reeves,
Bill and Ted, The Matrix. What else has he done?
Oh my God! Have you seen The Day the Earth Stood Still?
Oh God, the day the audience stood still.
My God, God. I mean, I know you're supposed to be playing a fucking alien, but Jesus Christ, put some effort in. Bad.
Oh, Jesus, that was bad. We actually sat all the way through that one.
Do you know, I think I've watched it twice.
That's just punishment.
No, I'll tell you why.
What did you do? What did you do to yourself to deserve that?
Well, I'll tell you what I did. I watched it on TV. Having already downloaded it to my iPod. And then I found myself on a long train journey to an away football match with nothing else but that on my iPod. And
you wasn't like, sort of sitting there thinking, I know, I'll give it another watch in case it is actually better than I first thought.
Yeah, so I watched it again.
You watched it again.
Even on a smaller screen, it wasn't much good.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, what have we got up next?
Well, I thought we'd mention Dwayne Johnson again, as he got that mentioned last podcast. He's going to play Hercules later this year.
The Rock.
He's been connected to another project. There's a piece of artwork I saw ages ago. It turned up on Facebook by a guy called Alex. Why do people always have strange names? It makes me look stupid.
To piss you off, John.
A fantasy artist called Alex Panagopoulos.
Sounds Greek.
The picture itself is called Sweet Halloween Dreams, and the picture depicts a tiny stuffed teddy bear with a wooden sword protecting a sleeping child from an enormous monster.
I saw that picture. That picture broke my heart. It's amazing.
That one picture is being turned into a picture, a film by New Line. The title's tentatively called Teddy Bear.
Yeah.
And Dwayne Johnson's attached to it. That's all they're letting on at the moment.
I saw that. I think that picture is
it's a gorgeous piece of work.
Broke my heart. I mean, it's awesome. The little teddy bear standing up to a nightmare, protecting the kid from a nightmare. Beautiful, really well done. And no props to that guy. That's just one image alone just caught the imagination, because it became a meme, didn't it? It was all over the internet. Yeah, I will endeavour to find that picture and post that in the show notes, because that is, check it out. Really. Lovely picture, really like that. Next movie, please.
Mr. Schwarzenegger, probably jumping on the I think I'll go back and do things that used to work for me.
Oh no, I know where you're going with this.
Yes, he has said he will be part of Terminator 5.
Terminator 5. Did we ever need that?
I don't know where they can go with it anymore, to be honest.
Oh, they're just going to pull some bullshit out of their arse and just throw it at a script page and it's going to stick, and then they'll go, right, Arnie, you've got to say I'll be back. And just, because you're shit at acting, you've got to play a robot again. That's it. I mean, I don't know, it's fucking terrible. Just let it die now. It's gone too far. Unless you're going to reboot it, which I think you can't do now because it hasn't been long enough.
Yeah, it's too well established, isn't it? You can't reboot it.
Well, I give it.
He's older. I mean, what they can do is CGI him to make him look younger, so he looks. He's a robot. Robots don't age.
Yeah, there's a fatal.
So flaw, you know, put elastic bands on his face to pull the skin back and make him look young again. Or something.
What did you think of Salvation?
I really enjoyed Salvation.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that bad. It got quite bad reviews.
It's the fact we actually got to see the future.
Right.
I mean, after when I first watched Terminator 2 and you had those glimpses of the future war, it's like, I want to see more of this. This is awesome.
Yeah.
And then that was it. We had a few. I think we had a pretty. Do we have any glimpses of the future war in Terminator 3? I think we did.
I'd like to erase that one from my mind, to be honest.
No, okay, you don't think about that one.
It was on recently. I caught a bit of it. and
Channel 5?
I think ITV2 or something.
Oh, right.
I think, I can't remember rightly. But yeah, it was on recently, and I caught the very end, and it was just terrible. I mean, it was at the point where me and the wife were just sat there mocking it.
I did like the fact it's a downbeat ending, though.
I suppose, yeah.
It wasn't all us sort of like, hooray, humans win, fuck machines. It's like, no, machines have won.
Coincidence that you bring that up as well, because I was talking again to the wife about films that have down endings. I think this was after watching The United States of Leland. Have you seen that? That's a good film. You should watch that. No, it's about a kid who he murders, their terminology, a retarded kid. Just stabs him repeatedly. But it sort of switches, you know, from present to past to future. This kid Leland, you see him sort of in state penitentiary or young offenders facility, something along those lines, and how he copes with it and his thoughts on it, and he shows little remorse. But it's the character whose name I can't remember, the actor's name, but he reminds me a lot of Donnie Darko, of Jake Gyllenhaal in Donnie Darko, and just that sort of expression, just a smile, same sort of smile in his mouth, sort of same sort of features or characteristics. But I don't know, I can't do it justice by explaining it. It's a really good watch. It's a really good film to watch, and it's not as bleak as it sounds. It's really not. You sort of just understand exactly. It gets to the point of why he did it in the end, and he can't really remember doing it. That's the thing, and that's not a spoiler. Yeah, that starts. That's from first scene. That's set out. But yeah, that's a good film. What was I talking about, John?
Films with downbeat endings.
Yes, that's right. And we were thinking about films with downbeat endings, and the one that sticks in my mind is Jeepers Creepers. Have you seen that?
I think I have. I remember seeing the sequel. I think I've seen the first one as well, but only the once, and so I blanked it because I'm not a big horror fan.
No, me either. But I did watch that on. Oh yeah, again on my own, I think, because nobody ever watches horror with me. I wonder why I'm so immune to it. And that ends up with the main characters, the characters you root for, being killed at the end, and the bad character, spoilers, the bad character wins out on that one. So that was a surprise, and I wish they'd just left it at one. I think they went on to make Jeepers Creepers 2, 3, and however many more straight to DVD. I've no idea. But yeah, I know what you mean. But yeah, it's Terminator Salvation. Yeah, it gets a bad rep. I think it was all right. I didn't mind that film at all. Christian Bale does his gravelly voice. This is my serious acting voice. Which was unnecessary.
I like the Terminator motorbikes. I thought they were quite good.
They were cool, yeah. Again, redundant.
I'm quite convinced that they'd have a USB port on the side that far in the future, but still, we'll let that bit slide.
Yeah, you gotta suspend belief a little bit.
And sort of CGI'd. It was a CGI Arnie at the end, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, yeah.
Completely. Makes a brief appearance.
Yeah, again, showing about the same amount of emotion as the CGI Jeff Bridges in Tron. But anyway, previous podcast, go back and listen.
But yeah, I mean, he's just obviously in the States, they've just had The Last Stand. Was that over here as well? Just going to come out over here, yeah?
It's out this weekend, I think.
That's done really poorly in the States. I think it only just made the top 10, if not just outside.
It's not one that really grabs you, I don't think. It's not one that makes you go, what should we do this week? I know, there's an Arnie film on. It's not going to do it, is it? You got things Miserable Bastards on at the cinema.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where all the couples will be going. The bloke will be taking the missus so he can get his arm around her while she cries. Yeah, I can't see it doing very well. Especially since Monsters is out again in the cinema in 3D. Is it Monsters, Inc.?
Yeah, that'll be out soon in 3D.
That's out this weekend.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah, I was thinking about taking the girls to see it.
I've seen Finding Nemo in 3D. That looks awesome.
Is it? I imagine that would, yeah. I mean, obviously, being the hater of 3D, like I am.
And the Toy Stories look good in 3D as well.
Yeah, well, it lends itself to animated stuff, doesn't it? It makes sense.
Yeah, it works really well.
Live action films, it just doesn't really work for me. And you know the problems I have. It's mainly down to the fucking glasses sending my eyes weird. My contact lenses slipping all over the place. And the fact that 10 minutes into the film you've forgotten all about the 3D anyway, and it loses its impact. I remember the first time I saw 3D was watching Captain EO at Disneyland in Paris, and that was, you know, the sort of novelty glasses. I'm trying to think of a better description, but they're grooved. They have grooves in them, rather than. I mean, it's older technology, but it worked, and that was like, wow, that was amazing. But yeah, it never really caught on at the time. I don't know, it's just 3D, it's pointless for most films, I think. But I can see that Nemo would be amazing, you know, the fish.
Yeah,
it'd be awesome. Right, okay, what's next on our list, John?
I thought I'd end up on a Kickstarter project that someone's pointed out. Someone aims to make a documentary based on what happened to Tim Burton's Superman movie. You know, there's some videos floating around of the costume test, where just what the fuck, I think, explains that costume test, really.
Yeah, I don't know. Some of it looked quite cool. I looked up images. There weren't that many images of it, but I looked at sort of ideas around it, there's an awful lot of effort went into it to make it sort of light up.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was that terrible an idea. I think perhaps you disagree with me. I think the tone of your article, if I remember correctly, was this looks a bit shit. But I
don't know what Tim Burton was going for. I mean, I suppose, I don't know, like a lot of people, like Superman, red and blue.
So yeah.
Why is Superman going for this sort of pearlescent silver with fiber optic glowing tubes around him? Huh? What?
Well, I think because he comes from a different planet. Where perhaps red and blue are not particularly fashionable. Pearlescent, on the other hand, is. I don't know. I thought it was alright. I think, yeah, perhaps not to the extent they did it, but incorporating that
in. Saying that, well, the original 70s Superman movie, everything on Krypton is pretty much silver, isn't it?
I'm not sure, I don't know.
The only reason he took blue and red, well, from taking it from that movie, is the fact that was the colour of the cloth he was wrapped in, basically, as a baby, wasn't he, when he was put into the escape thing.
Right, I see, yeah. I don't know.
The story goes on, the story I was reading says that it's rumoured that Warner Brothers spent up to about $30 million developing that Superman movie before they pulled the plug on it.
Mm.
A lot of money, but then again, it was a big franchise.
They've really failed with Superman a few times, haven't they? I'm sorry to mention it again, but Kevin Smith had a stab at it, or was touted to be having a go at it as well.
He was asked to write a script, wasn't he? And he did write a script. They were going to go with that script until Tim Burton basically came on board and said, no, fuck his script, we're using my script.
Makes sense, really. I mean, Kevin Smith's Superman is just... I don't think he can do films like that. I just don't. I mean, all right, he's never actually tried, but I don't think he could pull it off. It's just not his... It's not his thing. The big blockbuster movie, it's not his thing, is it?
He's always
been an indie film kind of guy. Even though he's a massive millionaire and makes millions of dollars, you know.
Yeah, it's not really the kind of film where Superman can stand around talking to, you know, for hours on end about, you know, the best Batmobile, you know.
Have a 15-minute shot of him flying through the air talking. it's not gonna fly.
See what you did there.
Oh, lame joke of the week. Cool. All right, well, that's worth checking out then. Kickstarter. Do you know what they're looking to raise?
No, I couldn't. The link didn't work. So I don't know how much he's asking to raise, but the guy behind it says that he's going to talk to as many key personnel as he can, including John. I've only got the surnames. It's Smith and Peters, who are the producers, but also he wants to talk to Nicolas Cage and Tim Burton as well, which is quite a big ask.
Yeah, I wouldn't bother with Nick Cage. There was one of those horrible fake websites last week going around that Nicolas Cage had died in a snowboarding accident.
Oh, fuck's sake.
And I got suckered in a little bit, because I just, you know, I did a Google search. Like, somebody mentioned it on Twitter, and then I did a Google search, like, Nicolas Cage dead, and this website came up, it's like Global News or something, and it was like, you know, this story's ongoing, updates coming later, reports are coming in at Nicolas Cage, bloody blah. The troubled movie star is not alcohol and drugs are not suspected, blah, 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 just an accident. And I was a bit suckered in. I was thinking, oh my God, all these bad things I've said about Nicolas Cage and his acting. and now he's fucking dead. And I kept going back to this website. Cause I don't know why, something just didn't sit right. And then I tried the links at the top.
Yeah.
And none of the links work. It is literally just, you can log on to this website, put in whoever's name you like and these details, yeah. And it produces a fake news page of somebody's death, and somebody's done that. And apparently now Googling that fucking website, there have been hundreds of celebrities' deaths reported on this. So I was sucked in by that. So Nicolas Cage is not dead. His acting career is, and has been for many years.
Unfortunately so.
Right, so that's it for this week, isn't it?
That is basically all the news this week.
Brilliant. Well, I think there's quite a lot of interesting information there. Okay, so that's all the news for this week. Thanks a lot, John. There's a lot to wrap our heads around before the next show. I think possibly there might not be a regular show next week. I think there might be a special in its place. Mm-hmm. So we're going to ask our Twitter question, but I think there's probably about 2 weeks until the next show airs to get this question out there. So quite a lot. So what we've come up with this week is a little bit of a twist on the theory, the theme. What we want to know is, what is the greatest superhero costume of all time? It could be movies. Let's keep it movies. This is a movie podcast, right?
Yeah,
let's keep it movies. The greatest movie superhero costume of all time. Could it be Batman, Superman, which of the films? We haven't thought about something from the
Iron Man
films. Iron Man, yeah. I mean, Iron Man's fucking cool anyway. I really like Iron Man's costume. But which version? Because there's so many. And so that's food for thought. So if you want to answer that question, hit us up. It's at The Unheard Nerd on Twitter, at UK Film Nerd for John. On Facebook, it's facebook.com/TheUnheardNerd. You can Google Plus us. And if you want to email in your answer, it's TheUnheardNerd@gmail.com. And also, I think we'll put this question up on the website and you can answer on there in the comments section. Comments are getting a little bit busier lately, John, on the website. I like that.
That's good.
Yeah, we're getting a few. We're not getting so many spam advertising comments these days for Blockbuster. They gone fucking bust. And
they were disappointing comments. Oh, someone's commented. Oh, it's spam. Yes.
My friends in the office where I work with say that Dish, capital letters. We don't even get Dish in this country. Okay, well, good show. Thanks a lot, John. And I hope, I think I'll be talking to you in a couple of days' time, all being well, for this special one-off podcast. Which
I'm looking forward to it.
I think it's going
to
be an awful lot of fun. So we'll see what happens with that. And until next time, thanks a lot, John.
Catch you later.
Until next time, stay safe. That's such a lame sign-off, but I'm leaving.
unheardnerd.com.